Dear brothers and sisters, good morning.
No, it's not.
Liars. Because of this false abomination of God's own nature, known as daylight savings time, how we can look upon the rotation of the earth and say it's not good enough for us, we're going to spring forward an hour. Father Albert and I are leading a campaign of Christian people against daylight savings time. But as we think about this on this horrific Sunday morning, I'd like to start by talking about things I hate. And I want you to think about this too, because maybe you hate these things too. Are you ready? I hate hearing a recording of my voice. I hate seeing a video of me. I hate catching a reflection of myself unexpectedly in a mirror. And most of all, I hate when people take pictures of me especially unexpected and then send them to me, like his wife, and they send them to me and they're like, oh, this is such a wonderful picture of you, Father, and I look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man trouncing down Erath. I hate it. Do you hate those things too? I mean, I know you hate looking at pictures of me, but do you hate those things too? We hate when we catch a bad reflection of ourselves because it pricks at our self-confidence and our self-acceptance, but also at the fairy tale we like to say to ourselves about who we are. And Lent, especially these first 4 weeks, is all about catching that reflection and seeing where maybe we're not quite so good as we thought we were. Maybe we do have things we need to work on. And so my job during this Lenten season is, of course, to make you miserable. And that's what I'm going to do, right? To help us look at the different ways that we sin, where we fall, how we're tempted. And we're going to look at that through two lists, one which we're going to dispose of in about half the homily today, and the other one which we're going to be dealing with for a little while. They're a list of three and a list of seven. And the two are related, kind of. I'm not going to get into the whole relationship of them because it's complicated, but just know that seven hang from the three in a certain way. And the three are the temptations we hear about today in the gospel. The three temptations that Jesus was tempted with. Turn stone to bread, look at all the stuff I can give you, show off. And these three temptations of Jesus are actually the three temptations that St. John says in his first letter we're all tempted with. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Lust of the flesh, turn stones to bread. Lust of the eyes, look at all the stuff I can give you. Pride of life, show off for everybody. There are also the three temptations that we read Eve was tempted with in the garden. She saw that the fruit was good to the taste, lust of the flesh, pleasing to the eye, lust of the eyes, and desirable for gaining knowledge, pride of life. And these three basic temptations, St. Thomas tells us, are based on the three basic goods that we as human beings desire. Right? Goods of the body, right? Whether it be rest or pleasure or health, goods of possession and honor, things in the external world, right? We'd like to own things, we'd like to be well thought of. And then goods of the mind, We like to be free, we like to be unhindered, we like to make our own decisions, we like to be autonomous. That there are temptations there, and we're not tempted with evil things, we're tempted with abusing good things. I think it's interesting that all the temptations that Satan gives Jesus actually end up being part of his saving work, right? He doesn't turn stones to bread, but he turns bread into his body. He doesn't throw himself down from the temple to be saved by angels, but he is crucified and risen. And when he ascends, all the kingdoms of the earth are in fact given to him. They weren't bad things. Satan was tempting him to get them in an abusive way. Okay. Now, that basic reality is always at work in us. We're always tempted along one of these three things. And we're always tempted along one of these three things in one of seven ways. And these seven ways are what you've probably heard called the seven deadly sins. And that's what we're going to be talking about a lot during Lent. Deadly is a misnomer because it makes it sound like every act of these sins is a mortal sin, and they're not all mortal sins. They can rise to mortal sins, but they are not in and of themselves always mortal sins. And that's why the church, in her technical language, calls them the seven capital sins. They are the roots of sin. These are the seven basic temptations that all of us are always tempted by. Okay? Maybe not by each one all the time, but by one of the seven all the time. And they are gluttony, lust, greed, sloth, envy, wrath, and pride. You'll learn the list as we go through Lent. And these seven capital sins are always tearing at us in a variety of ways. And you might think, well, I don't struggle with that. Pope St. Gregory the Great has this wonderful image that I absolutely love. He says, your soul is like a city with seven watchtowers on it. And if you're looking out of one watchtower, you're like, ha-ha, I'm not being tempted by pride. And you're looking out of another one, and you're like, ha-ha, I'm not tempted by wrath. And out of a third, ha-ha, I'm not tempted by greed. See how good a person I am? The armies that are besieging me aren't even there. He's like, duh. Because you didn't man the other four towers, and so the armies just are crawling over the walls, right? If you're looking around and like, oh, I'm so untempted by this thing, it's because the demons know you're not guarding yourself somewhere else. And they're just attacking the unguarded spot. I hope that makes sense. I know that wasn't as clear as it could possibly be. Dear brothers and sisters, that's why we're going to look at this during Lent. I want you to understand these seven root sins. Another great image that Pope St. Gregory the Great has about this is he says, whenever we fight the capital sins, it's like we're shaving. Okay? You can shave and shave and shave and shave and shave and shave and shave. But the root of the hair is still there. And that's what we have to do on earth. We have to keep shaving. Because on earth, we can't pluck out the roots of sin. That'll only happen after we get to heaven, God willing. And so that's why it's our constant combat against these seven. Against these seven. And so we're going to talk about one today. Just one. It's a hard one for me to talk about. But it is not only the first of the capital sins that we're going to talk about. It is also, in a sense, the saints tell us, the first sin, period. It is the gateway sin. And that is gluttony. And why is gluttony the gateway sin? Well, first, let's prove that it is. Remember that the first sin of mankind was an act of gluttony, right? They ate something they weren't supposed to eat. And then the first thing that Jesus is tempted with is turn these stones to bread. It's a sin of eating. St. Augustine says the reason why gluttony is always going to be the first sin is because it's the only one we can't completely remove temptation from. Right? You can take a vow of chastity. You can take a vow of poverty. You can hide from the world and never seek any honors or praise. You still got to eat. And the reality is, because we've got to eat, we will always be tempted to overeat. Okay? Now, I want to be clear about a few things here. I've already mentioned this for temperance. It's not a sin of gluttony to feast on feast days. It is a sin of gluttony to feast on fast days. Right? This is still guided by reason. This is not guided by what you see on TV. This is not guided by your diet. This is not guided by some ideal you have of how you want to look at the beach this summer. It's guided by reason. By reason. I also want to say that St. Thomas says, and this is good news, I think, for us, that gluttony in itself is never a mortal sin. It only becomes a mortal sin under certain circumstances. Okay? So, you drink too much, that's a type of gluttony. You drink too much, it's not a mortal sin. You drink too much knowing that it's going to make you drunk or intending to get drunk, mortal sin. You eat 3 cheeseburgers, not a good thing. I do not recommend this. Okay, it is a sin, but it's not a mortal sin. But doing it on a Friday of Lent certainly is. You eat an entire cake, not a good thing. I do not recommend this. This is a sin. But it's not a mortal sin unless you're diabetic, in which case you're knowingly endangering your health, right? Then if you aren't diabetic, by the time you're done with the entire cake, you probably will be. Yeah. So we need to understand that. We also need to understand that there are so many times that, and I know this in my own life, obviously it's a sin I struggle with, that the reason why gluttony is the gateway sin is because once we start to give in a little bit there, we set the pattern of giving in other places in our life. Okay? Because if I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have this, but I'm going to eat it anyway, or oh, it's not time to eat, but I really want to eat, I'm going to eat it anyway, we're weakening and weakening and weakening within ourselves the ability to say no to impulses. And so then when something comes that is more deeply sinful, whether it be a temptation to greed or temptation to lust or temptation to wrath, we've already set the pattern in ourselves that when I feel that impulse, I'm going to give in. And so we just slide right into it. There are lots of stories in the Desert Fathers about how the first monks fought the spirit of gluttony, and they'd actually see like demons crawling out of people's bodies whenever they fought this spirit, because that's how powerful it can be. And I know that, like for me, I mean, I used to be better against the sin of gluttony, and then I got sick, and I feel sick and pain and foggy all the time, and I overeat because it's a kind of release, and that's not okay. Not okay. It's not healthy for me, but it's also not healthy for me in a variety of other ways, because it sets the pattern, right? Where the next time I feel really sick, maybe I excuse myself from doing something that's even more sinful. I just need this relief. It's a gateway sin. And that's why the church's primary penitential practice from the beginning of her days was fasting. Because if you can fast well, you can pretty much beat any sin. St. Teresa of Avila used to keep a pear on her desk. I love this story. She'd keep a pear on her desk all the time, and she'd just watch it rot. And her sisters asked her, Mother Teresa, why do you let a pear rot on your desk? She said, because I love pears. And if I can't say no to a pear, how can I say no to sin? She understood that pattern. Speaking of patterns, let me say this last thing. As we go through these capital sins, I think some of them are going to be hard. I always see people squirm and get teary-eyed, at least a few people, whenever I start talking about these things. I understand. It's hard to see the deep compulsions we have. I want you to hear me when I say this next thing. If you recognize the domination that these capital sins have in your life, do not beat yourself up about it. First of all, because every human suffers these temptations. But secondly, and I've dealt with this for 15 years in the confessional, it's a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap set by Satan. Watch. I eat too much because I'm feeling bad. Then I beat myself up for eating too much, which makes me feel bad. So what am I going to want to go do? Eat more. All these temptations are abuses of good things. If I drink too much because I'm feeling sad, and then I beat myself up for drinking too much, what am I going to want to do? Go drink more. If I go look at things on the internet I shouldn't because I'm having a rough day, and then I beat myself up for that, what am I going to want to do? Go look at it more. If I get really angry because of something a coworker did, and I get really angry at myself because I got angry, what am I going to do? I'm going to just get more angry. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the reality. It's a trap. You can never shame yourself into holiness. You can never shame yourself into holiness. Instead, we should look to the responsorial psalm. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. If I commit this sin, instead of screaming at myself inside, I should take a deep breath, say, whoop, messed up on that, don't want to do it again. Why did I do it in the first place? Lord, I need your help. And is there a better way, a healthier way, for me to deal with these things inside, rather than the abuse of sin? We must be compassionate with ourselves, because that's a form of humility. And we must trust in the Lord, rather than thinking we can shame ourselves into heaven. God bless you all.